So meet Granny. Granny always had trouble with a certain rooster. Granny's a lady in her mid-70s, and she lived all of her life on just two farms, her father's farm and the one that her and her husband worked. Granny was a godly woman who could pray heaven down, as they used to say. And like anyone else, Granny had her share of sorrows and pain. If you sit a spell on her porch, she'll talk with you all day about life, financial doings, dogs and cats, and the like. In all, her life has been ordinary and wonderful. Hard work and family. A well-spent 80-odd years. That is, until that rooster came. She'll tell you that that rooster is as mean as Satan himself. It seems that this bird had decided that Granny didn't belong in the yard with all of his hens. Whenever she ventured too close to the hen house, he'd come flying at her with spurs thrashing and slashing. He got her a few times. Granny recalls that there was this one Wednesday night in particular where Granny had just come into church for prayer meeting, and she was bleeding from her arm and her leg. "Blame rooster's done it again," she'd say. And had that bird been a human, he would have been arrested for disturbing the peace at Granny's farm. But he was a rooster. So in one afternoon, Granny ventured out the back door of the hen house calling, "Here, chick, 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 here, chick, 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 chick." And the hens knew what that meant. And they came on down the road, running for chow. And that old rooster came too, because he was bent on protecting his territory. But he made a slight miscalculation. You see, over 70 years of handling problems, weather, crop failures, depression, stubborn barnyard animals, cats that want to eat her bird, it made Granny a formidable foe with a hoe. And she watched out the corner of her eyes as that whirling dervish of a rooster came squawking and flapping his wings, brandishing those spurs like Freddy Krueger. At the last second, Granny went, "Go ahead, make my day," and sidestepped the leaping rooster and swung a hoe like a ninja sword. An R.I.P. bird, and hello Sunday dinner. Next slide. You know, we all have our roosters in our lives. Those irritating circumstances of life that disturb the peace. In police work, a disturbing the police call is known as a Signal 22. It's a code that someone is disturbing the general welfare and state of the community. In our personal lives, a Signal 22 can mean many things. For some, it's a job that just gets under the skin, a neighbor that won't respect your privacy, or a bully who's a grade or two ahead. Maybe it's just rush hour traffic, and by the time you get to the traffic jam, there's nothing there. Now, I don't suggest that Granny's rooster control method is proper in every circumstance. However, each and every problem needs to be confronted. Otherwise, our peace is disturbed and sometimes taken away altogether. The Apostle Paul writes in Philippians 4:1, "Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. I urge Euodia and Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life." See, Paul was confronting a problem in Philippi. Evidently, two of the ladies couldn't get along, and it was a rooster event in the church. Paul pleaded for unity and cooperation, but he went further. He gave them a formula for peace that works. We live today in an age of edgy, worried, peaceless people. We exist in a pressure cooker of racial tensions, family crises, financial and generational stress. The feel-good approach doesn't always work. Drugs and simple optimism wear off way too quickly. The don't feel it all approach is worse. You can only ignore a problem until it engulfs you and your stoicism. And then it may be too late to do something. It's like having an early lead in a football game and then playing defensively for the rest of the game. You're on the field, but you're not really playing. You're just holding on until it ends. In verses 4-7, Paul lays out the great formula when you encounter a signal 22, a disturbance of your peace. So what do you do with the signal 22? The formula is P plus P plus P equals P. If you look at Philippians 4:4, rejoice again in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice.
Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice.
Amen. Rejoice.
You know, praise is such a thank you very much. Praise is such a vital part of the believer's life. Without praise, we are prey to depression, self-righteousness, and arrogance before God. Major League pitcher Earl Hershiser once appeared on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. Hershiser is a committed Christian and takes every opportunity to witness for Christ. Well, Carson asked him how he managed to stay so cool and relaxed looking, even in the World Series. He replied that he sang hymns and other Christian choruses that he learned in Sunday school and church during the times that he was on the bench and in between innings. And with that, Earl Hershiser stood up on The Tonight Show and sang on key the doxology for Johnny Carson. If you're that ready to praise God, you've gotten the first P of the formula down, praise. So how can you get there from here? Praise is a matter of finding God's handprint on everything that happens. Someone once said that she was thankful for her dog's fleas. Fleas? Yes, fleas. It seemed that the dog had just had a litter of pups. And the dog's owner was unable to get rid of the fleas using all the normal over-the-counter methods. So she took the dog to the vet. While at the vet, the doctor discovered something that was totally unrelated to the fleas, but was a threat to the dog's life. The owner of the dog was thankful for the fleas because without them, dog never would have went to the vet and the dog's life would not have been saved. Paul says, rejoice. Rejoice. And there's no qualifiers in that sentence. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Not rejoice in the Lord always, or rejoice in the Lord when you feel like it, or when things are going good, or when you won the Powerball. It's always, and again I say rejoice. We must praise the Lord always. So praise plus poise. Look at verses 5 and 6. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything. You know, in the King James version of that passage, the word we have here is gentleness, is moderation. William Barclay calls this your willingness to meet a man halfway. And poise is just that and more. Anxiety is the divided mind. It is virtually the division that distracts from the main purpose. And what is the main purpose? And the primary reason for gentleness. It's found sandwiched like between and the Lord is at hand. So if you imagine the Lord at hand as the bread, your gentleness or your moderation is between that, because you always know that the Lord is at hand. If we can ever truly live within the understanding that Jesus is near, closer than the breath in our mouth, we will remember that there is little that others can really do to us that He doesn't have to approve first. You can truly have poise when you live like that. Remember, said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these ancient human beings rush about and hurry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. So praise plus poise plus prayer. Look with me in verse 6. But in everything, by prayer and by supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Prayer is the tie that binds. The word prayer comes from an ancient verb that means to tie or bind to. In a sense, when you bow before God, you are binding yourself to His decisions and to His plan. The Lord's Gethsemane prayer is a good example. Not my will, but yours. A prayer binds us to accept God's decision. What a burden prayer takes off of our shoulders. Hey, do you have some major disturbance of the peace going on in your life? Pray. Bind yourself to God's answer. Then you can rest your worry bone. It is God who will work it out. Praise plus poise plus prayer equals peace. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What is literally meant by the peace that passes understanding is that it is a peace which is above our understanding. That's implied that God's peace doesn't make sense. And that's exactly right. In the worst rooster circumstances of your life, you can still have a peace that doesn't make sense. Jesus promised in John 14:27 that His peace isn't like anything else in the world. It will guard your heart. It will guard your mind. And it will guard your life. And the world can't take that peace away.